started making me think. Started making me think, because some of you guys may be like me, where your family that you'll be around during the holidays aren't maybe necessarily the most positive people about what you're doing with your life. Some of you are blessed with incredibly positive families. But either way, we have families, right? We have families that we're going to go see over the next couple of weeks, couple of month and a half. We're going to go see these people. We're going to be around them. We're going to be dropped into this culture that we maybe haven't been in a few months. Dropped into this mindset. Dropped into this bucket of goo. You hear me talk so much about, we're like sponges. Whatever you're in is what you soak up, and when you're squeezed, whatever's in you comes out. We're like sponges. Well, we're about to be sponges over the next month and a half, and I thought, you know what? Every time about this year, I'm preparing myself for the holidays. And so today, I want to kind of tell you how I prepare myself, and maybe it'll help you prepare for the holidays that are coming. And this is if you have a negative family or you have a positive family. Either way, these 3 points are things I do to prepare. Now, immediately we're facing Thanksgiving, and it's like, sneeze after that, and it's Christmas. So there are some things coming up. Well, before I get into getting ready for the holidays, and if I had to title this talk, that's what I would say, is getting ready for the holidays. Before I jump into this, I need you guys to understand, well, Hanukkah, I think, is 8 days, right? But Thanksgiving is one day. Christmas is one day. New Year's Eve is one day. And New Year's Day is one day. So before I even jump into these 3 things of how to get ready for the holidays, pay attention that you don't buy your clients' excuses right now. The people you're calling, well, let's wait till the beginning of the new year. No, that's crap. These people had a distinct need. They filled this letter out and they sent it in for a reason. It's not so they could wait another month and a half to take care of it. It's because they're worried if something happens, they're uncovered. Okay? I'm not going to go into all that today. Listen to some MP3s about that. But here's the 3 things that you need to do in order to get ready for the holidays. These are 3 things I do every year to get ready for the holidays. Again, my family is not real positive about what I do. They don't like the fact that I live halfway across the country. They don't like the fact that I don't call them very much. They don't like the fact that I don't take a lot of time out of my work schedule when I'm traveling to stop by and see them. They don't like that. Well, I'm focused, and I don't make any exceptions. I don't make any excuses for that. So when it's time to get around for the holidays, oftentimes they're negative. Getting emails coming across here. This is a good quote from Bill Jacks. He says, one of his favorite quotes in dealing with his mother is, water is wet, stones are hard, and mother is mother. I can appreciate that. Okay. Number one step in getting ready for the holidays. Visualization. Now, I'm not going to go into stories because I don't believe in bad mouth in my family, but I'll just say my family's not positive. Not positive about what I do, not positive about where I'm going. I am positive that my lead bill is more than all of them makes combined. I am positive I'm making 7 figures and my income's doubling every year. I'm positive about those things. I'm sure of it. So before I immerse myself, that's what I was looking for earlier, before I immerse myself and back into this culture that's going to come next week, I have to do some visualization. And this is something I do every day, but about this time of year, I really start hammering on it. I really emphasize it in my daily schedule. What are you visualizing, Fitz? Write this down. This is what you need to visualize on a daily basis. But as we're coming to the holidays, you need to be visualizing this hourly. Take 5 minutes out of every hour from now until the end of the year and visualize this. You need to visualize what you want and what it will feel like to get it. What you want and what it will feel like to get it. I've read studies about Olympic athletes, and they used to just, you know, Olympics used to be purely based on athletic ability, and now it's a lot of it's based on mental ability. And one of the things they do with most Olympic athletes, well, all the successful athletes have said this in the Olympics. They visualize, maybe it's downhill skiing. They don't visualize totally just about the race. They will visualize that, and they'll visualize the turns, but they visualize also what it's going to feel like to stand on that center podium and receive a gold medal at the World's Olympics. They visualize that. What you think about is what you become. And so they think about being a gold medal winner. Well, for the longest time, since I was 12, when I was 12, I set a goal for myself. I was going to make $1 million in a year before I was 30. I did that when I was 29. I'm now 30. And when I was 29 a year ago, I achieved that goal. I said, you know what? I am now going to set a goal to make $100 million in a year. And guys, like a lot of you guys, and maybe some, not some of you, but I would bet most of you are like I was. You have this income goal in mind of what you're going to make. And you have an idea in mind of why you want to make that number. For me, I always want to make X amount of dollars because of the things I could get with it and do with it. I always wanted a Rolex. Since I found out what they were, I wanted one. Last year I got one. I always wanted a nice, fast car. Still do. But I've got one. I drive a nice Lexus GS. Love that car. Now I've started seeing the Aston Martins. I'm going, wow, that's a nice car. I like James Bond, man. Maybe I can get the oil slicks coming out of the back. But once I started achieving some of those material things, I realized they weren't really all they were cracked up to be. They're nice. Don't get me wrong. And do they still motivate me? Oh, yeah, they still motivate me. I think right now purchasing a $250,000 car is stupid. It's a waste of money. My house is not even that expensive. I mean, this is just dumb to buy a $250,000 automobile, something that's going to depreciate as soon as you drive off the lot. Unless you have enormous amounts of money, then $250,000 for a car doesn't seem like very much. It's all a matter of perspective, right? But one of the things I dream about now is making $100 million in a year. That's my new goal by the time I'm 40. So I've got 10 years to do that. Don't know how it's going to happen, but that's my goal. And so when I'm visualizing, I visualize making that $100 million, and I visualize what it's going to feel like. Now, making money in and of itself doesn't feel like anything. Maybe you get some stress relief off of you because you can pay your bills or because you finally get out of debt. Maybe all that's in. Just picture how it's going to feel to be out of debt. Picture, if you can, the relief when you no longer have to worry about minimum monthly payments or 28% interest. Picture that relief. Pile up. This is what I used to do. Pile up all your credit cards that you've the bills, the invoices that you get for the credit cards, the statements. Pile them up. Figure out how much you're paying on a monthly basis, just on a minimum monthly payment. Figure that out. See what the number is. Mine was like $2,800 a month I was spending just on minimum payments. And decide what you're going to do with that money. My goal was to save it. I was recently corrected. We had like $80,000 in debt Heather and I did. We built up about $80,000 in debt. And I've always told people we paid it off in 18 months. And she recently corrected me. We paid it off in 8 months, not 18. It took us 8 months to pay off $80,000 in debt. How did we do that? We were making money. Well, picture that. Envision that. Envision being completely debt-free and what it's going to feel like to go grocery shopping and you can buy the nicer piece of meat instead of the prepackaged frozen junk. Or, like Barry Clarkson always talks about, you can go to a restaurant and order that thing on the menu that doesn't have a price beside it, but it has the words market price. So whenever I'm in a restaurant that offers lobster tail, I order it. I love lobster tail. Last year about this time, earlier this year, I was in Seattle with Dan Gillingham. We went to a nice restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. It was a nice restaurant. I got lobster tail. I did the surf and turf. Nice steak and lobster tail. I love it. I can order the lobster tail and not really care what the market price is. Picture that. One of the things I always heard, Andy always said, Fitz, get to the point in life, envision yourself ordering from the left side of the menu instead of the right. The left side of the menu is where the name and description of the dinner is. The right side of the menu is where the price is. Next time you're in a restaurant looking at the menu, think about that. You go, ooh, lobster tail looks good. Oh, market price, that doesn't sound good. Let's see. Oh, the chicken sounds nice. It's only $12. We've all done that. No pride in saying you don't think. Don't be proud. Say I've never done that. Yes, you have. Liar. You've done it. Picture ordering off the correct menu. Picture doing something for your spouse that they've always wanted to have done, but you just never had the money to do it. For me, I was buying a house. I never had a house. Not one that we were, you know, paying on. Not one that we had. That was ours. We rented one time, and we lived in an apartment for a while. But not just having a house, but being able to furnish the whole inside of the house, both furniture and decorations, with cash. I'm not saying we sit on cash. I'm saying we took the cash and bought a sofa. Everything in our it's in our house. Everything we furnished, even the 42-inch LCD TV we have in our den, all of that, everything, cash. We didn't put one drop of that on credit. Couches, dining room tables, chairs, little knick-knack junk. I call it junk because if I were a single guy, and there's no way that stuff would be in my house because it's just decorations. We decorate our bookshelves. Can you believe that? Well, picture what it's like to do all that with cash. I want you to spend time with this every hour for 5 minutes from now until the end of the year. Spend 5 minutes of every hour. If you're awake 10 hours, well, that's 50 minutes. You could do it all at one time if you wanted to. Coming across. Pretty funny stuff coming across. Every hour, 5 minutes, visualize the amount of money you want to make. A lot of you guys now have seen the presentation Ralph Simpson does with $100,000 in a briefcase. Once you see that $100,000, what you realize is $100,000 really isn't that much. Well, it's easy for you to say, Fitz. You've gotten it. You've had it. You got it in the bank. It's easy for you to say $100,000 is not much. It's not much, guys. I believed it wasn't much before I had it. I visualized $100,000 being nothing. I visualized $100,000 being my tithe, the 10% I give to my church. I visualize that. Even right now, as I'm saying this, I've got my eyes closed, and I'm visualizing it. My goal is $100 million to make in a year. before I'm 40. So I'm visualizing writing a $10 million check to my church. I'm trying to figure out how I can write that check and put it on my wall, you know, obviously dated, you know, not have it dated and all that sort of stuff, but I'm scared that, you know, our cleaning crew will come in and grab that $10 million check, try to cash it. But visualize writing that check, that donation you want to give to your favorite charity or church. Visualizing sitting in a brand new car, leather interior, because that's the best, leather interior that's never been cracked before. You're the first one to crack that seat. You're the first one to sit on that leather. And smell it. Picture that. It's just go ahead and smell that new car smell. If you need to be reminded what new car smells like, go to any car dealership. You can go to any car dealership, Honda, Toyota, Kia, Ferrari, Porsche. You can go to any car dealership. Go sit in those cars and just smell it. Drive your car into the nicer neighborhoods where you live and look at the houses and dream about what it must be like to live in that house. And visualize yourself in that house. Visualize yourself and your spouse walking up the grand staircase to go to your master suite that's as big as your house is now. Picture that. Visualize that. Visualize what it's like to go to sleep at night and sleep the sleep of a debt-free person. Visualize what that's like. Not going to sleep with a knot in your stomach of how are you going to pay for your light bill tomorrow, or how are you going to buy groceries. Visualize not having that knot. You with me, guys? Visualize this stuff. I still got my eyes closed. I'm still visualizing these things. Do this for 5 minutes every hour from now to the end of the year. This is your armor that you're going to put on when dealing with those negative relatives. Because if you can fully mentally grasp, if you're wondering where I'm getting all this stuff, this visualization stuff, it's not new agey bullcrap. Think and Grow Rich has it. Pretty good book, been around for a while. Nothing new agey about it. A lot of its principles are founded on the Bible. Nothing new agey about it. It's been around for centuries. Just visualize this stuff. Picture what it is you want. And picture what it is that once you have it, picture how you're going to feel. And in your visualization, make yourself feel that way. Take yourself out of this debt-free world and put in this indebted world, you know, being a slave to Citibank. Take yourself out of that world and put yourself in this free world, this debt-free world. Put yourself there. Because if you're truly in that place and you're focused on it on the hour, every hour, to get back in that place, I don't care what your relatives say. You're not going to care because you're living in this place. And see, I've visualized that for so long to combat my family, and now I'm living in that place that they still wish they could be in. I'm debt-free. I live in a nice house in a nice neighborhood. I've got jewelry and all the trappings of having money. I've got the cars. I got whatever. I've got a business that I can take a week away from, and it's still running itself. I've got these things, all these things they wish they had, and for years I've visualized having them, and now I do. And now think about how much fun my Thanksgiving is going to be. When I go to my brother's house and bring over a bottle of scotch, and he goes, "Wow, that's a $50 bottle of scotch. That's a $120, $150 bottle of scotch. How can you afford that?" Man, it's just $150. What's the big deal? More than that, just falls out of my pocket when I sit down in my car. Not really. But that's the vision. That's the attitude now, because I visualized that for so long. Okay. There's two more steps in the getting ready for the holidays. I think that's the biggest step, is visualizing what you want and what it's going to feel like to get it. Look at some of the emails that are coming across. Yeah, Vern, that's funny. Or buying an LCD TV based on quality, not price. I'm with you, brother. Randy Gress asked about that crab melt I had in Seattle last week. Was the crab on the left or the right side of the menu? You know what? I felt like it was going to be all over the menu, Randy. Okay. There you go. That's it, Joseph. Joseph Sexton just sent me this. He's got it. We talked about it yesterday in a sales meeting. Going to the national convention and watching these people walk across stage, getting an income ring or getting the awards. And whenever you walk up on stage, your song plays. They ask you, what song do you want to have playing when you go up on stage? My song happens to be Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. That song, not only does it get me fired up, but it's got some sentimental value to it, too. And I'll tell you at another time. But it's got some real sentimental value. So when I hear that song, I get goosebumps, I get tears in my eyes, and I get all jacked up. What is your song? Visualize the song that you're going to come up on stage to. And visualize walking up those steps up on that stage, that typical indoor-outdoor carpet kind of stage. You're up on stage, and always when you walk up on stage, see, I'm walking in my little office right now, my personal office, and I've got my eyes closed, and I'm picturing coming up those steps. I reach my hand out to Andy Albright on my left, shake his hand. Barry Clarkson's right beside him, shaking his hand. And then on my right is Philip Hudgens. I shake his hand. And then there's the girls behind them that always pass out the awards. And I take my award, and I go stand in line with the other people who are getting awards. And I turn out to the audience. I'm doing this right now, guys. I have my eyes closed, and I'm walking in my office doing it. I turn and look at the audience, who you really can't see from that stage because the lights are so blinding that are right there at the stage. So you really can't see the audience. Could be nobody there. But you can see kind of forms of people, silhouettes. That's getting me all excited about National Convention. And now I'm going to go into Thanksgiving with that vision. My brother, my sisters, my mom, nieces, nephews, nobody can say anything to me that's going to mess me up from that vision. Number two, getting ready for the holidays. Number two is something you should have anyway, just like number one, but these things are especially important during this time of year. Number two, 30-second commercial. You need to have a 30-second commercial. You need to be able to give a 30-second commercial about what you do. Inevitably, during the holidays, you're around family, but you also meet somebody new. Or you're around family, they know you just changed jobs, but they don't know what you do. You need to be able to give a 30-second commercial about what you do. Now, when you ask me, my 30-second commercial goes basically like this. Well, here's what I do. I help people make money by helping them help families keep their homes. So in the event that something should happen to a major breadwinner, that home's going to be paid for. I help those people keep their homes. I help the people helping them make money. And that's how I make a living. It's pretty cool. I've taught a couple people now how to make seven-figure incomes. I've taught numerous people how to make $100,000 incomes. And each week, we're saving about 600 homes in America. Each week, my organization is saving about 600 homes a week. Pretty cool. Come up with your own 30-second commercial. What do you do for a living? I make sure that the house is taken care of if something happens to the major breadwinner. And if nothing happens, I make sure they didn't lose any money in paying for a program they didn't need. Well, Bob, what I do basically is if something happens to you, I make sure Mary gets to keep the house. Come up with a 30-second commercial. Practice it. Something that's enticing for people. So when they ask you what you do, you can say it, and it entices them to ask you more. Number three, Number three in getting ready for the holidays. Get creative with that 30-second commercial, by the way. Don't lie. Because if you lie, you lose credibility instantly. I'm pretty hard on this right now. I've always believed this, but I've never really preached it as much as I am right now. That there's right and there's wrong and there's gray. And I will not operate my life in the gray. I'm going to operate my life in the right. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to admit it. No gray. Commit yourself to that. In your 30-second commercial, don't lie to people. If you've not created a 7-figure income, don't tell people you have. If you're creating a 7-figure income, that's not lying. You can't, nobody on this call can say that you've taught somebody how to make 7 figures. So don't advertise that you have. But you could say, I'm working with a guy that's taught a couple people how to make 7 figures. He's personally mentoring me. I get to talk to him at least once a week. Number three, getting ready for the holidays. Number three, be aggressive. Be aggressive. I've always been a believer in the best defense is an offense. Be aggressive. Be aggressive in what, Fitz? Running through walls is not very productive. That's right. It's aggressive, but it's not productive. So be aggressive in prospecting for clients and agents. This holiday season is an incredible opportunity for you to make sales to your family and loved ones, people who need the coverage, and you will actually be personally affected if something happens and they don't have coverage. Can you picture? See, here's what I can't picture. When I first got started in the mortgage protection business, I forced my brother and brother-in-law to buy policies. Why? Because I just knew that if something happened to my brother, my sister-in-law is going to come to me and say, you sell mortgage protection, you didn't make sure we had it? Or if my brother-in-law were to die, my sister with her 3 kids would come to me and say, wait a minute, you sell this stuff and now I got to lose my house because you didn't have the guts, you didn't have the intestinal fortitude. There's a lot of other words I'd rather use here, but I'm on a call, so I'm going to keep it clean. You didn't have the guts to come to me and make me purchase this? See, I couldn't bear hearing that if something happened, when something happens. So I was aggressive in making them purchase policies. My brother bought a policy, and then he realized how much money I made on it. He got licensed, and I gave him my brother-in-law as a client. Be aggressive. Now is a great time to sell. People, traditional insurance agents in America will say, this is the worst time of the year to make insurance sales. Nobody's got any money. Nobody can meet until after the new year. And every year I go, man, we're going to have a great January because all our agents are telling me that the clients are going to wait to the beginning of the new year in order to make the sale. That's bull. We'd never have an explosive January because of that. Never. Those people are selling you a line of bull. You need to just quit believing it. Be aggressive. Last December, Robert Wallace went out and wrote $100,000 in personal production. You do 50% of that and figure out what he made. $100,000 in 1 month. He was traveling every weekend. Well, the last 2 weekends were Christmas and New Year's. How'd he do that, Fitz? He traveled to see family, and he wrote them up. He wrote up about $30,000 in business just being on vacation seeing family. Be aggressive. Don't be a wimp. As Alex Abian said, if you're a guy, zip your zipper in the front, not the side. Be aggressive. You owe it to your family to be aggressive. You owe it to yourself to be aggressive. Your loved ones deserve your best. That's you being aggressive. Philip Hudgens always gave the analogy, and I can really appreciate it now, but if your child were in a burning house and the firefighters were outside telling you, no, sir, no, ma'am, you can't go in. It's not safe. Would you let them stop you, or would you go in and pull your kid out? I'd go pull my kid out. I've only known him 12 weeks now. I'd go pull him out. They couldn't say or do anything to stop me. Well, if you knew that there was a chance that your brother was going to die in the next year, if you knew, if you could tell the future, if right now you had the time machine, that DeLorean from Back to the Future movies, if you had that DeLorean and you went back in time and you saw, or you went forward in time, rather, to next year, and you saw that your brother died, and you saw that he didn't have enough money to leave to his wife and three kids, and you saw how they had to lose that house and how they were destitute. They had to move into government-assisted living because you didn't have the guts to push. If you could tell that future, if you could see into that future, how aggressive would you be during the holiday season to get them covered? If you knew somebody was going to die in a month, how aggressive would you be? Well, we can't know. We can't know they're going to die in a month. But we still have to be just as aggressive because it could happen. I've read too many. I can't stand reading those emails anymore. I still like to read them. But I hate reading them. They depress me about clients who send in leads and we didn't go get them covered in time. And something happened to a loved one, now they're going to lose the house. What if that's your family? What if that's your mother? What if that's your kid's sister? What if it's your first cousin that you grew up with, running barefoot, playing baseball in the backyard? What if it's those people? How aggressive are you going to be? Well, here's something I'm going to be aggressive with this year that I've not been that aggressive with in the past. I'm going to be aggressive with my family about making some part-time income. I was aggressive for a period of time, and then I backed off. And now I'm sorry I did. I'm going to be more aggressive. Here's how you can make some money. Go pick up an application, and it makes you about $500 on the conservative side. Each application you pick up is about another $500. Now, it ranges. Some lower, some higher, but average is going to be about $500 you make commissions on. I'm going to be more aggressive in that, in talking to more people about it. Why? Because it's a great opportunity. It's a market that's recession-proof. I was talking to somebody I mentored the other day, yesterday. And I said, you know what I've noticed about the mortgage protection market? I've been in it about 7 years now, a little over 7 years. Here's what I've realized about mortgage protection. When the economy's good, interest rates are up, right? But people are buying houses because the economy's good. They're making money. When the economy's bad, what happens? People lose their jobs, but interest rates go down, so they refinance. The mortgage protection market is a very consistent market. And it seems to be economy-proof. In 7 years, we've had a pretty good cycle of economy. We've had good, we've had bad. And yet we're still getting mortgage protection leads. And yet people are still buying houses or refinancing. And yet people still need to make sure that if they die, their house is taken care of. So during the holidays, getting ready for the holidays, get ready to be aggressive. Prepare yourself for aggression. Because you're about to go into a battle. I know I am. Vern Geyer. Everybody knows Vern. He just shot me an email. Last year, he said, I made more in the last 2 months of last year than in the previous 6 months. December was one of my best months. Yeah. Dan Gillingham says, during the holidays is a great time of year to talk with people about making an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month part-time. Because they just got done putting Christmas on credit. They all of a sudden realize they got no money. And January, February is going to hit, and those credit card bills are going to come in, and they really got no money. Now is a great time to talk to people about making $1,000 or $2,000 a month. Well, guys, that's getting ready for the holidays. I want to leave you with this today, because it's time. Every time I say that, I think of the Sound of Music when I go, the time has come for me to say goodbye. Anyway, remember that little girl, Gretel, I think her name was. The sun has gone to bed and so must I. Okay, I grew up on Sound of Music. I love it. If you hadn't watched it, you need to get it. Let me leave you with this. I start saying this about this time every year. Because every year, I believe it can be true for more and more people. I like giving gifts at Christmas. I like giving people gifts that they definitely wouldn't have gotten if somebody hadn't given it to them. I like giving that stuff away. I just think it's so cool to see people's reactions when you shock them with something awesome. Well, this year, let's pay cash for Christmas. This year, don't let this year be another year that you go further in debt to give somebody presents. I want to give because of the abundance that I have. I don't want to give out of my lack. I want to give out of my abundance. I want to give out of my overflow. I want to give because my cup is full. And it's spilling over. And what's spilling over is gifts for people for Christmas. You got 6 weeks, basically, to pay cash for Christmas. If you're writing Preferred Production, which is Home Certain, Income Certain, and Foresters, it'll get issued in less than 2 weeks. If you're not, you're going to find out that your client maybe potentially had issues with their health that gets them declined. And you don't make any money and they don't have any policies. Vern Geyer shot this email. This is good. Want to know how to get to the national convention? Buy a policy for yourself. Get paid a commission. Get the advance. Pay for your ticket. That's how you get to the national convention. That's how you can pay cash for Christmas. Picture this. Picture buying a policy for yourself for Christmas, wrapping it, putting it under the tree for your wife to see. She opens and she goes, what the heck is this? And you say, if something happens to me, you and little Joseph have a house to live in forever. It's paid for. That's what that is. And oh, by the way, here's the money I made by selling myself that policy. Sounds like a good Christmas gift to me. Guys, go make it happen. It's 11 after 3. It's time to go make some money. It's harvest time, baby. It's time to collect what's ours. Go get it. Talk to you later. Bye.